What's the latest on the crew? Let's go inside the clubhouse with Drew Wagner of Forbes Sports on Wisconsin Sports Daily. Served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan. Inside the clubhouse is brought to you by Focus Baseball. Sign your kids up now for July open tryouts at focusbaseball.com. Ages 6 to 17.
Mr. Wagner, he joins us here on the Fan Guest Hotline powered by Gruber Law. Follow him on Twitter as well at By Andrew Wagner. You've had a busy day down there at the ballpark, huh? Danny Johnson, Pat Murphy, lots of fun stuff happening.
Yeah, been a busy day. Got to see Danny Johnson, a little bit of a homecoming for the Appleton West alum coming back to Wisconsin.
Whoopee. Yeah,
kind of a little shocker trade there, but they saw it as a position to improve and get a little bit more production. Kind of tough because everyone was a big fan of Eric Haas. He was a big part of that clubhouse, but they like what they got in Johnson. They think he can help them out.
What the hell did they get in Johnson? He can block pitches better than maybe Eric Haas. Okay. He's got a little more power, maybe. He hasn't worked with a staff. Haas has worked with a staff. I mean, if the difference between going to the World Series and not is the backup freaking catcher, like, I'll be happy to be wrong if this is how this turns out.
I mean, I think they just saw it as a position where they can make some improvements.
For cheap.
They saw it for cheap, but yeah, but it was also, listen, they were getting nothing out of Eric Haas. They are getting a little bit more power. He's got a pretty decent OPS against lefties, gets on base really well against them. It gives them a little bit of backup behind Contreras, better than they would have gotten with Haas. Is this going to be their only deal? No, I don't think so. I think it just came about as an opportunity to make a move. They pulled the trigger on it. You know, this is not their blockbuster deal, and they're not trying to sell it as such. They just saw it as an opportunity to make an improvement on the roster and better set themselves up.
So Danny Johnson has a worse average than Eric Haas. So, like, I don't, again.
His numbers are a little tainted because he was off to just a miserable start. He's played a lot better of late the last 6 months. And listen, the Brewers are big on ingredients. They're big on the ancillary numbers. They're big on the things that don't meet the eye when you're looking at the stat line. They've done this time and time again. This is how they operate. These are the guys they bring in. These are the guys they like. And these are the guys that have success with them. You know, they find the raw ingredients and they find a way to make it work.
Danny Johnson is in his last 7 days, Charlie, used in the last 7 days, he's had 10 at-bats. He's 0 for his last 10 with 7 strikeouts. Oh, boy. So
that's
happy.
A little rough.
Woo! Get the chairs ready on Wisconsin Avenue for the World Series parade. We got Danny freaking Johnson. Okay, fine. Whatever. He's a backup catcher. We'll just move on. So, you know I'm angry. You said it on Twitter, and I did not respond to you last night. So this is where I'm at. I'm at the, we're going to do what we always do and say, well, we tried. We couldn't do anything. And then we're going to get bounced in the playoffs because we can't score runs. And then they're going to say, well, the offense went cold at the wrong time. What are you going to do? There's no way to know. That's how I foresee this going. Now, tell me where you think I'm going to be wrong.
I don't know if you're going to be wrong. I don't know if you're going to be right. I don't know if you're going to be wrong. If I was that good, man, do you think I'd be sitting here? I'd be sitting down at the Pottle Sportsbook laying wood left and right.
Dude, I'm so...
Like, I can't see the future.
I'm just telling you, man. As a fan, I'm just sick of this. I am beyond sick of all this crap. Every time they get in a position to go do something, they don't do crap at the deadline. The last time they did anything was Sabathia, and that was a general manager that was willing to roll the dice and go for it in Doug Melvin. He did it with Greinke. He did it with Sabathia. I mean, he did that. Stearns and Arnold.
Those were different circumstances, though. I mean, you were trying to slay the beast of 26 years when he made the Sabathia move.
Fair.
You were trying to get over the hump for the first time. Like, that was a do-or-die thing. 2011, you knew that you were losing Prince at the end of the year. You knew that the makeup of your team was going to change. You didn't have that much in the system that you were going to be sustainable for the next couple of years. So you shove your chips to the table and you go for it and you go nuts with it. It's a little different now because you're trying to maintain yourself from year to year as well. And that's not saying that they're trying to hoard their prospects and they're being too cheap. It's a matter of how much are you willing to mortgage?
Okay.
For 3 months, not even 3 months of the guy.
Okay.
Like I know what you're getting at. I know you want them to just basically say, take anyone that you want from our system and give us Suarez. I just don't see that as being the be-all, end-all deal that's going to turn this around.
No, by all means. And if Suarez goes to the Cubs and we lose because of it, then you're really going to see what an angry Sparky looks like. But having said that, I agree with what you said on Sabathia. I agree with what you said on Greinke as well as far as the situation. But let me lay this out for you. They have Peralta for one more year. Woodruff is a mutual option at $20 million. You're going to lose Cortez. You're going to lose Quintana. So if you decide, well, we're going to move off for Peralta because it's about, you know, trying to get prospects for him too. I mean, literally, you will not have a proven vet in that rotation next year. You can argue that this is an end of an era coming up right here with Peralta and Woodruff. You can also argue this is the best front three this organization's had in 20 years going into a postseason with Peralta, Woodruff, and Mizorowski, which we may not see again in the foreseeable future.
So what person is out there that is automatically going to change the fortunes of this team? Like, I know everyone thinks Suarez is going to be the be-all, end-all. You just brought up Danny Jansen's last week. All right, so if we're going to go
Suarez has been
level,
horrible since the All-Star break.
Look at Suarez.
Exactly. I know.
So, like, it's the same thing.
It's not the same thing. One guy's got 36 home runs. The other guy's a backup catcher. It's not the same thing. Stop. You know that.
He's already hit those home runs. There's no guarantee he's going to put up those same numbers.
You said the same thing to me at 32.
We've seen guys go into slumps like this.
Yes.
Down the stretch. I mean, Casey McGee in 2011. It was so bad that they went out and they got, Jerry Harrison.
Yeah.
You know, you're betting on yourself and you're betting on your guys and you're trying to weigh bringing someone in. Are they going to be able to maintain that level? Are they going to be able to come in there and do what you want them to do every single day? There's no guarantee on that. Listen, the Diamondbacks have plenty of suitors. They're going to get offers left and right for this guy. It all depends too on what happens with his hand.
It all came back negative today.
Okay, don't know what's going to happen in the next 48 hours. You know, the Brewers could go in and get outbid. The Diamondbacks
prefer
to deal with somebody else. I mean, listen, there's a lot that goes into trades, and it's not this misconception that it's a lack of trying or laziness or cheapness is ridiculous.
No. What it is you don't want them that bad. Everybody has a price, Mr. Wagner. Everybody. Everybody has a price. If you want somebody, you can make a deal big enough to get who you want. It's an overpay, but you can get who you want if you really, really want somebody. People, I'm sure, were besides themselves when they gave up what they gave up for Greinke. That helped build the Royals into a World Series team. But Doug Melvin wanted Zach Greinke and was going to get him at all costs. Doug Melvin wanted CC Sabathia, and again, a lot of people thought that was an overpay, and he went and got CC Sabathia.
Well, Zach Greinke, remember, you had 2 years of.
Sure. Yes, a year and a half,
Zach
whatever
Greinke
it was. 2 years.
Wasn't a rental.
Correct.
Zach
it was
Greinke
2 years.
Wasn't a rental.
That is true. Correct. Sabathia was a rental, however.
Yes. And that was an extenuating circumstance. I think we can all agree on that.
I don't know, man. The more I sit here and the more I think about everything, the more convinced I am we'll never see this thing actually happen for us as fans. We'll be a playoff team and we'll probably never see them actually get there because this organization will never push in because they're more concerned about fun entertainment every summer than they are about winning a damn World Series ring. And that, to me, is disappointing and heartbreaking.
I don't believe that.
The Bucks won a championship in our lifetime before they did.
The Bucks also got lucky and got a once-in-a-generation talent that everyone else passed up on and wasn't paying attention to because they had a GM at the time who was looking outside the box.
Oh.
Like, this is not the Bucks winning a championship and the Brewers winning a championship are not apples to apples.
If you would have taken a survey of people in this town 20 years ago of who do you think would win a championship first with where Doug Melvin and Mark Antanasio were and where this was going versus where the Bucks were at that point, everybody would have said the Milwaukee Brewers. Nobody would have said the Milwaukee Bucks. If Mark Antanasio owned the Milwaukee Bucks, they never would have won a championship because he never would have wanted to pay the luxury tax money to go along with it.
Yeah, that may be, but it's also a different economic structure. It's also a different economic structure.
It's just
like it's an apples to oranges comparison. I do not for a second believe that Mark Adonazio does not want to win a World Series. Not for a second. I think that is the most tired argument that I've heard.
If you're like, not willing to push in and you're more concerned about year to year, then yeah, that's where I'm at, dude. I'm at, he wants to be right around this level where he is, which is a very good baseball team. It's great. I'm very happy. It's better than 26 years of being horrible that we all grew up in. I'm all about that. But if you're not willing to push in to try to go for it every once in a while, then no, man, sorry, I'm not buying it. If our big move at the deadline is a backup catcher, and then we're going to go to the offseason, like we always do, and get beat, then what's it going to be? Well, maybe next year we'll catch lightning in a bottle and see what happens when we don't push in again at the deadline. I'm sorry, I've had my fill of all this nonsense. He is Andrew Wagner. Thanks for coming on. I'm sorry I yelled at you the entire segment. Danny Jansen, obviously active, and he is going to play. Easton McGee gets called back up. As far as Jacob Mizorowski last night, I thought it was pretty impressive. After that first inning, he settled down and was fine.
I thought that was his best start yet. I really do. And granted, the numbers won't say so, but the fact that he got through that inning and had the wherewithal to go into the dugout, to figure it out, pull his head out of his rear end, and go back out there and retire 10 straight. I mean, it was a 15-pitch second inning. After throwing 40 the first time out, he wanted to go back out there for the fifth. Like, he was kind of fighting them to go back out for another, and they had to say, dude, you've done your job. You've done what we needed you to do, and then some. Like, we got this. That was impressive. That was his most impressive start because he showed the ability to bounce back and make the adjustment in-game and prevent it from becoming a complete blow-up.
Yeah, I thought I was very impressed with how he pitched. And the bullpen more than did their job. And again, offensively, you know, a team that doesn't hit a bunch of home runs got three of them last night. Now we'll see what happens tonight. Ray against Priester. I like the Brewers' chances, obviously, in this one with Priester on the mound again. Mr. Wagner, thank you so much. I'm sure you'll talk much more baseball, a lot less yelling from Tommy Wirtz when you join him coming up between 5 and 6:30 on the leadoff show powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Thank you so much.
Well, I don't need to get married, buddy, because I got you to yell at me. That's why I love you.
See? Right. Exactly correct. Yes. I appreciate
that.
See you, friend. Love you, too. Say bye. There he is, Andrew Wagner. Fan Guest Hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call. That's all.